Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
At the beginning of the year, I want to start a series. Matt and his team will probably rename it, but I'm calling it Developing a Spiritual Mindset. Our text, I want to take this from, is Romans 8 chapter verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A lot of people are looking for life and peace. And this is telling us, how do we get that? So tonight I want to talk about what your mindset is, how your mindset is developed. Everyone has one. And then we will go into that and begin to look at what the Bible says about what kind of mindset that we're to have. And so it says to be carnally or fleshly or simply limited to by what we see around us and what we hear around us and what we see. He said that is death, or it not means you die. It means there's a separation from God and his ways. He said, but to be spiritually minded is life, and the eternal life of God and peace. And a lot of people are looking for life and peace. So let's talk a little bit about mindset. Now, some people will call it, I've heard this called, a Christian worldview. I like mindset better, because when I think of worldview, for some reason, my mind, I go to your perspective of the world. This is really your mindset talks about what you, a product of how you view life and how you respond to life. How you view, how you respond. It's a product of a multiple of variables. We'll talk about some of those. Paul wrote the Philippian church, and he said this. He said, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So he's talking about things learned, things received, things heard. And so you begin to get a different mindset. I was thinking on the way up here, it's 40 degrees out there. And 40 degrees here for us, that's cold. Now, I know some of you who are unfortunate enough to live in far northern climates, or you're freezing right now. But for us, it gets 40 and we're wearing jackets. And I know there's some of you guys that never wear a coat ever, but I'm just talking about the normal people put on a jacket or something. It's cold. And when we lived, when Matt was about four, we had just moved to a new neighborhood. And we came back from church. We were going to Lakewood Church. Lakewood, you guys, you have no idea. Our church lasts an hour. An hour five if we go long. I used to go to church where if we got out in an hour and a half, it was a short Sunday. 2 hours was norm. Any of you know exactly what I'm talking about? Some of you probably like, really? Yeah, really. It really went that long. But we came home from church and we were tired, and I just was on the sofa and just took a little nap and woke up, and Matt was gone. Matt was four. He was gone. It's 40 degrees outside. And I was like, Jory, have you seen Matt? No, hadn't seen Matt. So now we've just moved and we're brand new in the neighborhood. So I get out, put a coat on, go down the street looking for Matt. There he is. He's got his T-shirt and his short pants on. And he's barefoot. Got snot on his nose because it's cold. And I thought, oh my gosh. I mean, don't we look like the parents of the year? So we smile, wave, and take him home. So I was telling that story one time at a church. I was preaching at a church in outside of Kansas City. And I was saying, yeah, I said, and here my son was. He's in a T-shirt and short pants, and it was cold outside. It was 40 degrees, and they started laughing. And I didn't figure, I couldn't. And finally, the pastor, he said, Alan, 40 degrees isn't cold. I just looked up right now. We helped start a church in Salina, Kansas, with John and Lindsay Huseman. They're doing great. And it's 15 degrees right there right now. It feels like six. And so if you're in Kansas, 40 degrees is nothing. With your mindset, they're probably looking at us going, what are you people bundled up for? That's like springtime weather. They're freezing up there. But that's their perspective. That's their mindset. So if you come from the north, you think, man, you come down here. I'm always amazed. We go down to Galveston after Christmas. I'm always amazed. Joy and I are walking on the Galveston beach. We got a sweatshirt on. There are people swimming. They're sitting there. They got an umbrella. They're sitting out there. They're laying out. They're swimming. It's like 50 degrees and they're swimming. And I'm like, you people are crazy. Don't share that with them. But I'm thinking, you're. In fact, I saw a family one time. I asked them, I said, where are you guys from? Oh, we're from Connecticut. I'm like, okay, well, that explains it. Bless your hearts. And then so how you view life, how you respond to life, is involved with the multiple variables. That's a simple one, but how about this? How you grew up had a big impact on your mindset. There's an old saying you probably heard, more is caught than taught. You catch things, you pick things up. Have any of you ever found yourself doing something that your parents did and you have no, you didn't even think through it, you just did it? My dad and mom grew up in the Depression era. Both of them were poor. And so in our family, if you didn't eat your food, it was the unpardonable sin. And if I didn't want to eat food, my dad would look at me, he'd say, son, this is not a cafeteria. Now, your mother made that food, you're going to eat it. Any ever hear stuff like that? Anybody ever get the starving kids in China thing too? Yeah, okay. Now, for some, I'm a boomer and raised by people who grew up in the Depression. For some of you who are Gen Xers and Zs and stuff, you're like, no, it was considered a crime if you didn't eat your food. If you didn't clean your plate, ever heard of clean your plate? It's a wonder we're all not just grossly overweight because we just grew up learning how to clean our plate. And so I grew up that way. That's where I developed such a hate for onions. People say, don't use the word hate. If you got a stronger word, give it to me. But I hate it. And so I'm looking at Matt one day, and Matt's like, he had some olives, and I go, I don't want to eat the olives. And out of my mouth, I looked at my son, and I said, son, this is not a cafeteria. Well, what the heck am I saying? I'm like, dear Lord, if you don't want to eat olives, don't eat olives. But I caught that, and growing up, you catch some things. So much is picked up unconsciously. We conform or rebel to our environment that we were raised in. Some of you, if you had parents who were alcoholics, you either recognize that you have a propensity to drink or you're sworn teetotalers. Never touch the stuff. So there's a conformity or a rebellion. What about view of marriage or lack of marriage? That's impacted by how you grew up. I grew up with parents that would argue and fight and make up and stay together. Joy grew up in a divorced home. And so every time we would argue, especially early on in the beginning days, she thought it was going to be over. That's her mindset. That was her attitude about marriage. Her attitude about marriage, and she can tell you this, was she came from a family where you didn't trust men. And men weren't trustworthy. You see where I'm going with this, don't you? That we learn these things, and you pick up. This is what couples find when they come into marriage. He brings his perspective, she brings her perspective, and then the perspectives don't always add up. I came from a leave it to beaver, male-dominated home. Dad was the boss. Joy came from an Italian matriarchal home where mama was the boss. Wait till me and mama met up. It was a little bit of a battle. And Joy, poor Joy, she was caught in the middle until she finally realized, hey, we have to go the way the Bible wants us to go. So you have your view of marriage, your view of money or lack of money. If you're rejected or loved by your parents, that impacts you. Oftentimes, and this is where fathers are so important, oftentimes people will pick up their mindset or their perspective of God from what they saw from their dad. And this is why dads, I so appreciate, we have a lot of good fathers in this church. And my hat is off to you. because you don't realize what an impact you make on your family. I realize moms are the glue. I can tell you in many, many families, and I can tell you in our family, joy is the glue. The mom is the glue. But I still have, as a father, I've had a greater influence in terms of my words and my tone. And that's the way God designed it. And so it works that way. And so your mindset often, if you had a father who was rejecting, it's easy for you to bring that over into God and think he's rejecting of you. There's outside influences. Paul was writing to the church at Colossians. He said this, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And his next words are interesting. He said, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." One of the things we're going to be talking about as we talk about this series is that we're dealing with a contrast. We're dealing with the contrast of the world's philosophy and how they deal with things. And then we're going to see a different mindset, a different perspective as we see God's mindset, how he thinks about things. You say, "Well, I don't know how God thinks about things." This is why he gave us the Bible. We have an entire book of God's thoughts. And we begin to understand how God thinks and his perspective. And so what happens is then the course of a Christian life, to get the fullness out of it, you want to begin to find out more and more what God says about life and about you and about your perspective and about how to treat people and about what he believes about you. And he said, don't let anybody cheat you. So many people are cheated over the riches that they have in Christ, but they're cheated by philosophy and people telling them they don't count. And to cheat, you can't cheat somebody out of something if they don't already have it. If I didn't have this Bible and you, I've got this Bible. And if you cheated me out of it, well, that makes sense. If you cheated, but you can't cheat me out of a Ferrari. I do not have one. If you would like to share one with me, but no, I don't have a Ferrari. So you can't cheat me out of one. He said, don't let anyone cheat you over all the riches that we have in Christ. He said, through philosophy and empty deceit. The big challenge we have, guys, is dealing with things that are not true. And so what we're learning in life is we're learning, and this is what we'll talk about, is developing a mindset that's a spiritual mindset, which is life and peace. So what are some of the outside influences? Cultural norms. They are constantly changing. And typically they're moving away from God. Cultural norms. I was talking with a couple that came down here it was years ago, and they came down. They said, "Need you to pray for our relationship." Well, that's a key for me. I said, "Are you guys living together?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Are you married?" They said, "No." I said, "Okay." I didn't look at them and go, "Are you going to hell?" That's not what I said. I just said, "Hey," I said, "tell you what, you want God's blessings on your relationship? Why don't you do it God's way? Let's get married." And that girl bowed up at me. Here's the interesting. The guy was raised in church. He dropped his head. He went, "Yeah, I know." His girlfriend, man, she got. I was looking for security, man. I'm like, it's going to get rough in here in a second. She just bowed up to me. She said, "That's not how I was raised." And I said, "Darling, I'm not going to change the Bible just because you were raised differently. But you see the difference. And the cultural norms is if you want God's blessings on your relationship, do it his way. Get married. In fact, I will marry you for free. I'll have you in and out in less than 15 minutes. I do express weddings." But some of the most beautiful weddings I have done have been people who have said, "Alan, we want to make it right." In fact, we've done about, I mentioned that back in the fall. Mm-hmm. I think we did 15. Yep. And so, man, hey, we're not condemning you, but you want God to bless that union. Come on, let's do it his way. So that's a cultural norm that's contrary to what Scripture says. And so a spiritual mindset is, okay, I'm going to do it God's way. You're going to have fun with this series. Just wait. It gets more fun. But here's where we find out. A lot of times where the conflict is and the difficulties in our life is we're trying to do things our way or the world's way, and God's over here going, I got a better way for you. This is going to work a whole lot better. Yeah. You know, Joy and I have been married, it'll be 43 years this year. And so, to each other. And what we've learned is God had a great plan for it. He had a great plan. I'm the head of the house. I'm not the spiritual head. The spiritual head of the house is Jesus. Jesus, Joy is, boy, she's accountable to him. She has a relationship to him. And if I get off kilter, she's going to obey him before she listens to me. I'm the head of the house. But I can tell you right now, I can tell my wife anything she wants, she gets. She doesn't have to fight me for it. She didn't have to push me for it. She didn't have to manipulate me for it. She just has to ask for it, because the relationship is such that we have a loving relationship. She gets anything she wants. I'm the head of the house, and woman, you're going to submit. I tried that one time. And why is it people don't know, they don't know jack about the Bible, they know that verse, woman, submit. Good luck. Good luck with that. But I tell you what does work. If you love them like Christ loves the church, you'll find that submission is not a problem at all. And boy, I could really roll with this. I'm just going to stay on track, Ellen. New Year's resolution. All right. There's cultural norms. There's media input. There's influencers in all areas. People in your life who've been influential. I was in college. I changed my major to finance because of a really great professor, very charismatic professor. I was a finance major, should have been a marketing major, but that was someone who had influence over me. And the danger is being cheated from your spiritual identity in Christ. Not a business influencer typically won't bring you that way, but how many people have been influenced in the wrong direction by someone else in their life? Where our mindset is by our life experiences. What you've experienced in life has impacted your mindset. Maybe some of you guys were like this, but you ever known guys who, like, they were full grown by the time they were in eighth grade? I've known a couple guys. They were in eighth grade, they were head and shoulders above everybody else. And they dominated all the sports and everything. And man, they were just cocky. And then by the time they were seniors in high school, everybody passed them. And they weren't that big anymore. But you know, they still kept that same kind of cocky mentality because they had become accustomed to that. Whether you're accepted or rejected, if you've had a lot of rejection in your life, it's going to impact your mindset. If you've had wins and losses, if you say, man, I just never win at anything, or I win at everything. They find that the Navy SEALs have found that people who were really star athletes in high school often did not make it with the Navy SEALs because they were so accustomed to winning that the adversity threw them off. And so learn, you've met people before who, how do I say this delicately? I've met girls before, this was in my college days, high school days, who were beautiful, just gorgeous, with like zero personality. They didn't have to develop a personality. They were so pretty, people just gave them a lot of attention just because they were pretty. That's the way our culture works. If you've got it, people treat you well. If you don't have it. But then I've met girls who weren't the prettiest growing up, and all of a sudden they blossomed and they were amazing. My wife is one. And just, she wasn't considered the prettiest growing up, and she said, I made up my mind, I'm going to be the nicest and kindest person. But no one, and she, if you know Joy, what you see is what you get. She's nice and kind and pretty. It works out real well. But what I'm saying is, her mindset was, if I'm not going to be accepted for being pretty, I'm going to be accepted for being kind. It's a mindset. So You know, this week, a great thing is just to begin to actually examine what is your mindset? How do you see things? Give you just a couple more. We'll end. Body image. You know, people look at on the outside. I'm skinny. I'm fat. I'm good looking. I'm not. Their body image often creates a mindset of this is how people see me, and this is who I am. But you know, here's some good news, and I love this about the Lord. Look at this verse here. This is in Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight. Aren't you glad that God is not impressed by smarts? He's not impressed by money. He's not impressed by how strong you are, how beautiful, how successful you've been. He is simply looking for a heart. And if you've got a heart for him, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or anybody else says. You've got a God who loves you. And here's the beautiful thing. Here's where we help our kids. If we help our kids not conform to, it's not what the society thinks of you. It's not whether you're accepted or by your peers or not. You have to, here's the foundation. The foundation is if you belong to Jesus Christ, God's hand is on you. His favor is on you. His blessings are on you. And you belong to him. You're part of an eternal kingdom that will never end. We can lift the self-image and the self-esteem of our children, not just by going, you're awesome, you're amazing, you can do anything. How about telling them this? God's got a plan for you. You are a unique individual, and there's a calling and a plan on your life, and it's good. And these are what help their self-esteem. And you don't build self-esteem by affirmation. You build it by achievement anyway. And we're off. You ready? Okay, so here's the deal. Where do we go from here? So you're looking at your life going, wow, Alan, I got a poverty mentality. I don't feel good about myself. I don't like most people. I love the Lord. It's his children I can't stand. And I'm not joking. I'm going to... How do we change that? So that's what this series is going to be about. It's about changing that mindset and developing a mindset that's there's a strategy to do it. Strategy is a plan of action intended to accomplish a specific goal. So here's our specific goal. Why do we want to change our mindset? Why do you want to have a different perspective? Why do you want to have a godly perspective? Because we want to live a life that brings honor to him. Yeah. We want to be productive in what we do. We want to be good reflections of Christ. A good witness. Delusion. So we want to, you know, Paul prayed a great prayer. It's a prayer I pray for you guys. I pray that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I believe God wants you to live a life where you're fully pleasing him. That's a great place to be. Where you're fruitful in every good work. You know, having a good view of yourself, that's a good work. Being a blessing to other people, that's a good work. Being a blessing to your family, that's a good work. Prospering in your job and your career, that's a good work. You know God's interested in how you do in your job because you're still a reflection of him and he wants you to do well. He's pulling for you to do well. God is just like, God's interest in you doesn't stop when you leave through those doors. His interest in you is when you're going to work and how it works in your home and how it works in your life. He's interested in you. He's got a plan for you, and his plan for you is good. Amen. But you say, well, if God's plan for me is so good, then how come it's not working out in my life like I want? Well, There's a strategy behind finding God's plan. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So there's something for us to do. When you made Jesus your Lord and received him, that's a work of grace that God did in your heart. And you became a new creation in him. You're accepted by him. You're blessed by him. You're loved by him. But to live that out, you have to begin to renew your mindset. You got to come up with a different mindset. We got to do something with our bodies. We got to do something with our mindset. And fortunately, he has given us all the tools we need to do it. We just need to do it. And people say, well, I have no idea to start. Well, stay with me. We're going to talk about how to do that during this series. It's going to be a good series. And you begin to put these things in practice. And I will tell you something. It will change your life. People look at Joy and I and go, oh, you have such a wonderful marriage. We used to have a stinky marriage. We argued all the time. We fought all the time. It was difficult in our home. We rarely even argue now. Say, well, yeah, it's because you're a pastor. No. It's because we begin to renew our mindset to what God's view of walking in love and God's view of marriage is and how to make it work. And what we found out is if you're dealing with hell on the outside, you need to come home to heaven. So we've learned. So it's a learning thing. It's not that God just loves some people and he thinks they're Justin and Mary Beth and they're so talented and God just loves them. And he just sprinkles grace dust on their life. And that mindset is wrong because God is no respecter of persons. And he's a respecter of anyone who said, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to learn to think like you do. And my life is going to change. And I'm going to be a blessing. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heavenly Father, your goodness and your grace, it just amazes us all the time. And we thank you for it. Lord, thank you for the grace that's available in Christ that he paid the price. All we have to do is receive him to see that change begin in our lives. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this evening or you're watching online and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure that I do, or I used to, and I've gotten away from God, but I want to come back. We're not going to have you stand up, not going to have you come to the front. If you're online, I can't see you. But we're going to say a prayer. If you want in on this prayer, though, this is a great decision, but it's your decision. If you want in on this and you say, you know what, I need to make sure, or I need to come back, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium? No one's looking. We're not going to call you out. Thank you. Thanks. 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 All over. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand and you're thinking, I missed it. This is a heart prayer, and you can pray. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Pray this out loud, out of your mouth. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer, for those here, those online who prayed it. Lord, thank you. What an amazing thing your grace is. Thank you for that. And thank you for the potential that they have. And Lord, we will walk with them and help them all we can. For those of us who know you and love you, thank you for your mercy towards us. Thank you for your grace towards us. Thank you that there's always hope and a future in you. So we look forward to this year. It's going to be a good year. And we'll give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.